Kerbos, I hope all is good. Today's daf is Gittin, daf Mem Gimel. We're here at the bottom of Mem Beis, Mem Beis, about 5-6 lines up. Yiboyeluhu. The Gemara asks the following shayla. Evet shemachro rabo leknas. Now, if you remember, well, I guess with a couple of things before we dive in over here, we have to give a bit of a background, right? Yesterday, if you remember, we mentioned that if a shor gores an evet, if an ox gores a person's slave, so the din is that you pay the master shloshim shkalim, you pay 30 silver pieces, which is not just 30 bucks, it's a lot of money. You have to pay the master for the value of the evet. The Gemara's question is, can you sell that knas? Can you sell that future knas? Meaning right now the evet is okay, right? Nothing has happened yet. Can you sell any future potential knas that you might get if this evet is gored? What's the shayla? So a little that we're going to get into in a second, but just to preface right over here, this is machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, if you can sell what's called the davar shelo bo la'olam, something that does not exist yet. Can you sell that to someone else? For example, you own a, Gemara's example is, you own a palm tree, and that palm tree is going to produce dates. But it's the middle of, I don't know when the dates grow, the summer, and the dates are only going to grow in the winter, or maybe vice versa, I don't know. The dates don't exist on the tree yet. Can you say, I'm selling you those dates, right, that will grow, in the, even though they don't exist right now? So Rabbi Meir says yes, and the Chachamim say no. That's what the basis of this Shaila is. Now Tosus points out that it's not exactly the same Shaila. Tosus says you can't sell the actual Knas itself, because even Rabbi Meir would agree that that is completely detached from anything, right? The way you have to phrase it, Tosos says, that you can sell the Eved vis-a-vis his Knas? Meaning you're not selling the Knas itself, because the Knas is nothing. But the Eved, with regards to his Knas, can you sell that? That's the Shaila of the Gemara. Okay. Fine. That's how Tosos phrases it. So anyway, Yiboylo, Eved Shemachro Rabo Leknas. If a guy sells his slave vis-a-vis his Knas, his any potential future Knas that he might get if he gets gored. Machor and machor. Does that work? Right? Does that work? So it's by the Rabbi Meir, it's by the Rabbanan. The Shaila can go both ways. Both to Rabbi Meir, who says you can sell a davar shelo bo la'olam, and according to Chachamim, who say you can't sell a davar shelo bo la'olam, you can ask the Shaila. Because by the Rabbi Meir, because according to Rabbi Meir, I can't look on Rabbi Meir, because only Rabbi Meir only says you can't sell a davar shelo bo la'olam, right? Adam makne davar shelo bo la'olam, el kigon peres dek al David ida asur. Maybe Rabbi Meir only says that you can sell something that doesn't exist yet if that is definitely going to come, right? This palm tree produces fruit every single year. Aval hach, but over here, mi yimer de mingach. Right? Over here, this is not something that definitely will come. This is something that might come. Right? We don't know if the Eved's going to get gored by the ox. It may happen, it may not happen. So maybe Rabbi Meir would agree that you cannot sell in this case. And even if you say that he's going to get gored, so we might have a shalim. So you don't even know, right, that the knas is going to be paid. Because maybe the guy who owns the shore will admit, there's a halacha modib knas pater, if you admit some sort of fine before Edom come, right? It's a whole discussion. If Edom come afterwards, okay, do you have to pay still? But let's say Pajab Shah, the guy admits to owning the shore, didn't guard it properly, right? If he admits in basin, he doesn't pay the fine. Mother Bekanas Potter. So who says even if the Eved gets gored, he may not, the fine might not even materialize anyway. So maybe Rabbi Meir would agree, right, that you don't pay, that you can't sell that. V'tibay l'Rabbanan, the Shaila could also be posted to the Rabbanan, who normally say you cannot sell davar shelo bo la'olam, something that doesn't exist, because al kan lo kamer rabbanan ein ad makne davar shelo bo la'olam el kigon peres dekal de peres dekal. Maybe the rabbanan only say you can't sell something that doesn't exist by the case of a palm tree that's going to produce fruit, dash da mi'alesnu, because right now the fruit doesn't exist. Aval hacha, but in our case, what doesn't exist? Everything exists. Hakai shor, fakai evet. Right, so the shor exists. The ox is there. Right, the slave is there. Right, he just hasn't waved the red kind of flag in front of him and caused him to charge. So what's the din? So can you sell that Knasser, the Eved vis-a-vis is Knasser or not? So I'm Rabbi Abba Toshma. I'll bring you proof. V'ilid Bayis. The halacha is that someone who is V'ilid Bayis, born in the Kohen's house, is allowed to eat Truma. That's the Pasuk. But that obviously doesn't mean the Kohen's kid, because the Kohen's kid is a Kohen. What it means is that then a Kohen's Avadim, a Kohen's slaves, and Shifchos, and Shifcha Kananis, and every Kanani, they can both eat Truma. So any child that the Shifcha Kananis has, is, if it's born into the Kohen's house, he can also eat truma. Matam alomar, what does that teach me? Im kinyan kesef ochel, yilid bayis lo kosher kain. The Gemara says, what do you mean? If you own, meaning obviously, if the Kohen's shifcha, right, is led to Yitruma, obviously her kids, right, who are also avadim, right, who are slaves for every Kanani for the slaves, for the Kohen, also should be able to eat Truma. So Gemara says, Ilu kain, ha'iti omar, right, ma kinyan kesef sheyishba shava kesef ochel. Now, if you didn't have that pasuk, right, you might have thought, that just like only a kinyan kesef, someone that you acquire, meaning a slave, that has value, only a slave that has shava kesef, only a slave that has value is allowed to eat, is allowed to eat truma, because the pasuk says kinyan kaspo, something that Eved has acquired for money, i.e. something that has monetary value. So afilid bayis shishba shava kesef ochel, you might have thought also that when a shifcha has a child, only when they have a monetary value, right, worth as a slave, that they're allowed to eat truma. Apparently, right, i.e. excluding, right, the little kid, right, who has no value whatsoever. So how do you know that even a child who is born to a shifcha kananis who has no value yet is allowed to eat truma? So therefore that pasuk yilid bayis teaches me that it is allowed to eat truma. But still, you might say that yilid bayis, but you might have thought that, okay, fine, someone who's born to a shifcha kananis, regardless of whether they have value, right, he can eat truma, but kinyan kesef, but when they refer to the slaves of the Kohen being able to eat truma, that uses the pasuk of something you acquire with money. Yesh b'shav kesef ochal, ein b'shav kesef eino ochal. Maybe you have thought that all the slaves need to have some sort of value. Tamalomer, therefore the pasuk says kinyan kesef b'lid bias, right? Therefore the Torah connects each other. Right, ma'yil bias alfal pishin b'shav b'klum. Shava klum ochal, afkin kaspo afal pishin shava klum ochal. So the Torah says those two back to back to connect them and say that even though a slave, let's say perhaps, would have zero value, he still would eat truma in a Kohen's house. Now, what does this have to do with our case? Well, how are we trying to prove whether you can sell the knas of an eved or not? If you'll tell me that, the Gemara says, if you'll tell me that you can sell the knas. Sell the eved vis-a-vis the knas. So mi ikad lo mazdavin l'knasa. What do you mean? So how could you ever have a case of a slave that's not worth anything? Right? I understand slaves that can't work, guys, complete cripple or whatever it is, Rahman al-Islam, God forbid. Okay, so he has no value, but you could sell him for his knas. Right? He has some sort of value because you could sell the knas. So apparently, what do you see? You can't sell the eved for the knas because otherwise you'd never have a case of an eved that has no value. So Gemara says, no, you might have a case of an eved that has no value. You can have a treifa. There's an eved that's a treifa, and therefore he doesn't have a knas if he's gored, right? Because he's going to die anyway. Treifa is someone who has a mortal wound, a mortal defect, or whatever. So there's no knas there. So it could be, yes, there's a slave that is a cripple. Unfortunately, Rechman al-Tzlan is not doing so well. And even if he would get gored, he wouldn't have value because he couldn't sell his knas anyway. I have a chazin to make a kameh. Okay, but he could still, a treifa doesn't have to be a cripple, right? He could be a treifa, could be, okay, he has some sort of illness, Rechman al-Tzlan, but still moving around and being valuable. So the Gemara says, yeah, okay, but there's a case, but manuvel, mukashkin, right, could be a case where he's either disgusting or he's mukashkin, he has some sort of shchin, right? Obviously, right from the plagues, right? Boils. He's some sort of illness that's contagious. You don't want to get it. You don't want him around. So yes, theoretically, you can construct a case where the guy can't be sold for his knas, and has no value to your household because you don't even want him around. Okay. So the Gemara doesn't really answer that shy. That just disproves the Toshma of Rabbi Abba. If I'm not mistaken, we have a couple shaylas today that don't really get answered. He boiled it. That's the following shayla. Misha chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. Shekidesh bas chorin. We're going to have a couple iterations of this, of this scenario. If a guy's half and half, right, like we said by the Mishnayos, and he marries, or he does kiddushin with a regular Jewish woman. So ma'o, what's the din? Does that work or not? Imtim tzolomer ben Yisrael, sha'amro lebas Yisrael, hiskachi lechetzi mekudeshes. Now, where are we going to learn this from? If you learn it from a case, right, where let's learn the halacha, a parallel case, right? similar case, not parallel, similar case where a regular Jew goes up to a regular woman and says, "Marry half of me." So the halacha is mikudeshes, right, that she is married to him. The chazir lekule. The problem is, right, that she is able to marry all of him. But halo chazir lekule. But here the guy is half and half. She's not able to marry all of him. She's only able to marry his free half. Right, again, an every Kanadi is not allowed to marry a woman. A Jewish woman. Vimtim zalomer ben Yisrael mekadesh chatzi isha inu mekadeshes. And if you'll tell me that if a regular Jew goes to be mekadesh half of a woman Enumigudeshes, right? If it doesn't work, and therefore here also it shouldn't work, right? The Shaya Bikinyana. Well, maybe over there, that's because he's left over some of the woman, right, to acquire. Va'eved lo Shaya Bikinyana. But here, the guy hasn't left any of the woman over to acquire. It's just that only half of him is able to marry her. So, my, so what's the din? So, how do, what do we do? So, because we can't learn it from either of those cases. So, Tashma, let's bring a proof. Hemis, Chetzio, Misha, Chetzio, Eved, Chetzio, Ben Chorin, Nosin, Chetzio, Knas, Larabo, Chetzio, Kor, for Lo'yosha. Right? We said yesterday, if a short kills, right, some guys, it was half and half, so he gives half of the knas, right, for the slave half, for the Eved half, he gives to his master, and half, the kofar for the free guy half, goes to the Yorshim of this guy. Via Marta Kedushin, Velav Kedushin, right, Yorshim Inale. So the question is, how did he have kids? And if he can't marry somebody, how did he have kids? No, the case is where the ox made him a trefa and didn't kill it. And what that means is that the money goes to him. Right? In that scenario, the kofar goes to the guy, right? Even though he's still alive. Right? So that's how he could have Yorshim. So Rava says, that can't be the case. Shtei chuvas b'davar. I'll give you two points. Chada, first of all, the Yorshim katani. First of all, it says his inheritors, his Yorshim. Right? It doesn't mean him. But, oh, and also kofar who? What do you mean? We're paying kofar, right? If a when do you pay kofar, right? If a shor kills a person, you pay kofar to the Yorshim. I'm Reish Lakish. Kofar Eim Shtalam Elach Misa. You only pay kofar if the guy is literally dead. You can't, not that he made him a trefa. He's halachically dead, but he's not actually dead, so you don't pay kofar in that case. Salam Marava. Roy Litol V'Eim. What it means is that he should give the kofar to the Yorshim, but since he can't get married, right, he has no Yorshim, and therefore there's no one actually to take it. So therefore, this, you know, you could learn it like that, and therefore there's no proof one way or another, right, whether a guy's half and half can be Mekadesh, a Jewish woman. Amar Rava says, Kishem Shem Mekadesh Chatzi Isha Enum Kodesh, just like someone who's Mekadesh, half a woman, doesn't work. Kach, so too, Chatzi Shifrech V'Chatzi Bas Chorin, if you have half and half, but now she's half and half, and she's half free and she's half slave, Shiniskasha, if someone gives her Kiddushin, and Kiddushin, that doesn't work, just like you're not allowed to be Mekadosh half woman, so too you can't be Mekadosh a woman who's half and half. Darish Rabba Bar Ravuna, Kishem Shemekadosh Chatzi Isha Inim Kodesh, Rabba Bar Huna said as well, right, same thing, just like you can't be Mekadosh half woman, Kachetze Shiva Chatzi Baschorin, Shiniskasha, Inim Kodesh, right, agrees with Rava, same din that it doesn't work. Amar Leir of Chista, Rochista says, one second, Mi Dami, right, it's not the same. Right, Hasam, as we said before, we pointed out the same distinction. Hasam Shai B'Kinyano, Hacha Lo Shai B'Kinyano. By the case where you guys Mekadesh half a woman, he's left over part of the woman. He hasn't done a full kiddush on this woman. But here, where the guy said, "Arei Mekadesh Li, I want to marry all of you." Okay, it's not Tofes and all of her because she's half and half. But he's not trying to leave over the kiddush itself is not flawed. So Zahadar. So therefore, he went back. Okim Rabba Bar Avuna Amora Alavadarish. So Rabba Bar Avuna got up and right, he kind of said, "Somebody get up and announce for me." Then I take it back. And he said, I take it back, and actually, it should work. And he quoted the following pasuk, V'amachashela, hazos, tagos, yadecha, v'amachashela, the thing that stumbled is under your hand. What does that mean? That's referring to the Torah. The Torah is referred to as a stumbling block sometimes. Well, basically, as Rashi points out, right, the times of the first base, the Midrash base of people were not keeping Torah, so it turned into a stumbling block. It turned into being a stumbling block for Am Yisrael. Yeah, good. So what does the Gemara say? Ain adam omid al debitor elin kin nichshav b'hem. A person does not say, and this is an unbelievable mussar, right? A person does not come to fully succeed in Torah unless he has kind of fallen over first, right? He's had a stumbling block, meaning he has been incorrectly interpreting the Torah at the beginning, right? Obviously, when a person starts learning, they come to, I don't know, maybe this, right? You only come to a true understanding of the Torah if you've made mistakes first. So that's what Rabbi Bar Ravuna had said. Right, that he was incorrect. Right, Avav Bisha Amru Mekadesh Chatzi Isha and Mekadeshas Avav Chatzi Shivcha VeChatzi Baschorin Shniskatcha Kiddusha Kiddushin. Right, he took it back that even though you can't marry half a woman, if a woman's half and half, except Kiddushin, so that does work. My time, Hasam Shai B'Kinyano Hakalo Shai B'Kinyano. Right, exactly like we said before, because you're not leaving over half the woman. It just has to be. It happens to be that she's half and half. She can't actually marry a free guy. Amar Rav Sheshes said, "Kishem Shemakadu Chatzi Isha Ein Mekadeshes Kach Chatzi Shivcha VeChatzi Baschorin Shenskacha Ein Kiddushin Ein Kiddushin Kiddushin." So Rav Sheshes says, "No, I still disagree. I still maintain that it doesn't work." V'im Lachshecha Adam Lomar Because if you'll tell me, then I'll prove to you that I'm not correct, right? Meaning, Rav Sheshes is anticipating, right? If you'll say, well, what about the following? Well, what about a shivcha charufa, right? That's what the Torah says. What is zu shechetzi shivcha chetzi bas chorin? Right? Didn't we say the pasuk says that that's a woman who's half and half? Hamarasa le'ed ivri, and she's engaged to an eved ivri, and then that's the whole shaila. If you sleep with that woman, etc., that's the Torah says, right? We did that yesterday or 2 days ago, maybe. Alma bas isrusehi. Apparently, she is able to be right engaged. Right? And I just told me that I'm telling you that a half and half is not able to be engaged. But the pasuk talks about a shikha charufa that is engaged in eved ivri. That seems to prove that a half and half can be engaged. So I'm lechal kelchal. It's Rabbi Yishmael. I'll tell you. Just go to Rabbi Yishmael. Rashi Omer, because he says shashivcha kananis and marasa levid ivri. Right, that he's talking that case is a shivcha kananis who's engaged in levid ivri. Shivcha kananis pasi rusehi, and because a shivcha kananis is not able to be engaged halachically, ela ma'is lechal amemar my muresis miuchedes. Now chanani my muresis miuchedes means rather it doesn't mean that she's actually engaged to the evid kanani, to the evid ivri. It means that she's designated. She's set aside. She's miuchad. She's set aside for him, right? That the Torah says you can do, right? If you have a shivcha kananis, so you can give her to an eved ivri, and any children that she has is your avadim. You can give it to eved ivri, and any children will be your avadim, your eved kananis. So too over here, but doesn't mean, right, that she can, what's it called? She can be married, but it just means that she's not actually engaged to him. That just means she's set aside. Okay. Amar of Chister. Chister says like this. Chetzi shevcha v'chetzi abas chorin shenizkacha l'ruvin. Let's say you have a half and half woman. Again, we said, let's assume, right, that it does work. Right, that she's engaged to Ruvin. V'nishtachra. And then she was freed. V'chazer v'nizkacha l'shimon. And then, oh boy, she goes to be mekadesh to Shimon. Right, and Rashi over here points out, because we're going to have a different case in a second, Rashi points out that's Achav. That's Ruvin and Shimon are brothers. Ruvin lo Gersha. Again, Ruvin didn't divorce her. Ruvin's still alive. And now she's half married to Ruvin, and now her other half is freed, and then she accepts Kiddushin from her Ruvin's brother Shimon. And then Umesu Shnayim. And then both of them died. So it says the Gemara Misya Bemis to Levi. Levi can do Yibum. Right, and that works out. Ve'inani koriba eishes shnei mesim, and this is not a case of a woman who is married to two dead men who would not be shayach, for yibum. Right, if a woman was a widow of two brothers, right, she's not allowed to marry to do yibum. But obviously, it doesn't work, mamish. But if the guy is what's it called? How does that work? That she's married to two people? What's it called? Hold on. Sorry, one second. Just. Does that work again? Right, so Rashi points, if you look at, read Rashi over here, I'm not going to read the whole thing, right, but if the guy, let's say a regular case where a Jew marries a woman, and the guy dies without kids, Rachman al-Tzlan, so the wife falls to the brothers, right, for Yibum. So usually there's Yibum with Chalitza, but if one of the brothers does Maimer, right, and then he dies, right, so then that woman is a widow, quote-unquote, of both of them, even though she wasn't actually married to both of them, and then there's no more Yibum. So over here in this case also, since even though she was married to both Reuven and Shimon, we don't say that you can't do Yibum because she was married to two brothers, like the case where she was married to one of them, that guy died, and then she did Maimer with one of the other ones. If you don't remember Maimer, that's already Sugi's in Yevamos, so we can kind of, it's like Kiddushin to Rabbanan, it's not full Yibum. Okay, we're not going to do it over now. Anyway, we don't say that she's been married to both of them, and we say that she can't actually do Yibum to Levi. So the Gemara says, Mimanoshach, because either way, Ikidushir the Reuven Kiddushin, because if she was married to Reuven fully, then Kiddushin to Shimon Lav Kiddushin, then Shimon's Kiddushin is nothing, right? A woman can't be married to two people at the same time, even if she's half and half. So if you're telling me that half and half woman can marry somebody, can accept Kiddushin from someone, and it works, so then she's married to Reuven. Right, and she was never married to Shimon. Be kiddushin the Shimon kiddushin, and if the second one is good, meaning if you tell me that half and half cannot marry, right, a Jewish person, and therefore when she got freed and she became a fully free woman, then she accepted the kiddushin from Shimon. She was fully married to Shimon. So kiddushin the Reuven life kiddushin, the first one was no good. Right, so Mimar Shach, she's only married to one of them. Right, it's not a case where she's married to both of them. Okay, it's Mar Reuven said. Chetzi shifcha v'chetzi bas chorin shenizkacha l'Reuven v'nishtachra v'chazer v'nizkacha l'Shimon. In this case over here, right, again, similar case, this is not his brother, right? This is, again, it's very confusing because it's the same names, but let's say a woman who's half and half marries Reuven, then she was freed, and then she got married to Shimon, who's not Reuven's brother. That when she becomes freed, the first kiddushin is also gets freed with her, meaning she's no longer married, or she isn't married to Shimon. She isn't married to Reuven, and therefore when she accepted kiddushin from Shimon when she was fully free, she is Shimon's wife. Rabbi Zera Amar Rav Nachman, no, the other way around. Gomru Kiddushei Rishon. That when she is freed, that the first marriage is completed, not annulled, not uprooted. The first marriage is completed, and therefore she is Reuven's wife, and she's not married to Shimon whatsoever. Amar Rabbi Zera says, I'll prove it to you. My kavasi didim istavra makes a lot of my sheet that makes sense. Chesiv because says lo yum suki lo chupasha. Again, that's the case also we saw before. If a guy sleeps with this woman, with this shifcha charufa. Right, so that guy doesn't get killed because kilochu pasha. She's not fully free, meaning she's not a fully free woman. She's a shivcha charufa, and you don't get put to death for sleeping with a shivcha charufa, even if she's designated for a certain eved. If she was a free woman and that was adultery, so obviously get put to death. I hachufsha, but if she was free, yumtzu. So after right, she was freed, right, the guy would get killed, i.e., because she would be fully married to the guy she was engaged to, or the guy she was married to. No, what do you mean? We mentioned already, Rabbi Shmuel Shita. The Tanna Rabbi Shmuel, Damar Rabbi Shivcha Kanaz, Maresa Levit Ivri, that's talking about a Shivcha Kananis who's designated for an Evid Ivri. What do you mean? If she was freed, would you put that death? No, that's not what, that doesn't prove anything. According to that Shita, right, he wouldn't be put to death whatsoever, so therefore it says nothing about her marriage, and it says nothing about the which can't right it can't do anything right. If a shivcha kananis is designated for never divri, then she gets that's free. She's not married to him, right? That was only an arrangement while she was a slave. So Ella Ma'is Chalamim, right? Okay, so what do you say? Shechuvcha v'chazer v'niskasha must be that where the case is in the pasuk according to that understanding, right? That she was freed, and then once she became engaged again, right? And then she got married afterwards. So Achanami, so too over here. Shechuvcha v'chazer v'niskasha, so too over here. The pasuk is assuming, right, that she gets put to death, right? Only, says Abaye, only, right, if she got freed and then she got engaged again, then the guy slept with her. That would cause chiyav misa, but it doesn't mean necessarily that if when you free this half and half woman, that that's a gemar, that's a completion, right, for her marriage. Okay, Amar Rav Huna Bargatina, Amar Rav Yitzhak. In the story with a woman who's half and half, and we forced the master right to free her. So the Gemara says, "Come on, whose shita is that?" It's like Rabbi Yochanan Broka, the Amar who says, "Al shneim who Amar vayivorech osam elokim vayomer pru revu malus aretz." Right again, according to Rabbi Yochanan Broka, very little. Well, I guess I don't know if it's not well known, but we always assume that pru revu applies to men and not to women. Rabbi Yochanan Broka says that's not true. It applies to both of them. Right, so since a woman also has a mitzvah to have kids, Kohen Rabbi Yochanan Broka, we force the master to free her. Right? Again, if you remember, that was the Machlokas Beisham and Beisilal. Right? You can have a half and half. He'll work one day, or she'll work one day for herself, one day for her master. What do you do about the mitzvah to have kids? So he said, right, the whole Beisilal went back to agree with Beisham. What about a woman? Right, a woman doesn't necessarily have a mitzvah to have children. So Rabbi Yochanan Broka says, yes, she does. So okay, so there you go. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, oh, that's not the reason, because Minak Hefker Noguba says that's not because she's Chayav Mitzvah. She's not necessarily only according to Rabbi Yochanan Broka. It's because she was being mafker herself, right? She was being promiscuous a little bit, right? And they wanted to free her so that she would marry someone, right? And you know, kind of keep true to their one husband. Okay, let's do a little bit further. Let's start the Mishnah a little bit. Hamocher avdo lov chachavim ol chutz laaretz yatzah ben chorin. If a person sells a slave, right, to a guy, right, we mentioned this before in the Masechta as well, or you sell to chutz laaretz, so he goes out free. Okay, let's just get to the two dots. Tanur rabbanan lo nerabaisa. Hamocher avdo lov chachavim yatzah lecherus. Right, but the Braisa says, it's archiat shichur, right? If you sell your slave to a guy, right, he goes free, and we'll see in a second when he runs away. But he still needs to get shechur. Mirabu Rishon from his first master. Amar Bishem Gamliel, b'med var amurim. When is that? Shelo kosov alav ono. When he doesn't write in the shtar, right? Ono. His literally means his document, right? His shtar. right? Avot kas avalav ono zeo shechruer. But if he wrote ono, that that's what frees him. The Gemara says, my ono, what is that? So Rav Shesh says, the kasiv lei hachi. He wrote like this in the star, like in the star of the mecher, of the star of the sale to the guy. The kishetivrach, when you run away mimenu from this guy, ainli isik becha, I don't want to have anything with you. So that is his shechruer. That is meaning that the guy can run away, and then he acquires himself, he goes free, and that's what we'll stop here for today. We'll go right to the Hilgishas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.